This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hey, folks. Yes, it is Dr. Lucille, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm going to get right into this subject that we're going to be talking about today on Mindful Medicine because I think it's so important. Preparing healthy meals with ingredients on hand, getting healthy meals on the table quickly, and gardening in small spaces. Listen to this. Did you know that since the 1970s, childhood obesity rates have more than tripled? Tripled. It's true. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, one in every five kids is obese. And I see this. You know, I travel quite a bit. And if you want to see a random slice of the population, just go to an airport. And I shake my head every time. I grab my heart every time because I see kids getting fatter and fatter and fatter. The problem, as you can imagine, is that it is laying the foundation for what may be a lifetime of health problems for those kids. It's horrible to see. And we can do better than that. And I have the perfect guest to help us. So parents, listen up. Loved ones who take care of young ones, listen up. I've got Dr. Namali Fernando. She's a pediatrician practicing in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and a founder of the website DrYum.org. And we're going to hear so much more about Dr. Yum and the Dr. Yum Project. She graduated from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine and School of Public Health with an MD and a master's in public health. So she knows what she's talking about. Dr. Fernando, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so this is really important information. And I have to mention your new book, too, Raising a Healthy, Happy Eater, A Parent's Handbook. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, really, my co-author and I wrote that book as a guidebook for parents to know how to raise healthy, happy eaters. And I'll just tell you, Melanie Potok is my co-author. She is a speech-language pathologist who specializes in pediatric feeding.
Wow.
And so she sees a lot of kids with special needs, but also typically developing kids who have feeding issues. And those issues can be anything from garden variety picky eating to more serious medical issues involved with feeding. And we developed a friendship and wrote a preschool nutrition curriculum a few years ago for our nonprofit in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and realized we really had a lot of the same experience and approach around guiding families on how to raise better eaters. And what we found was that there were a lot of parenting missteps. Parents who want to do the right thing, who have certain feeding issues or struggles and may be making the wrong choices or wrong steps because they don't have the information. So what we wanted to do is really lay out a great foundation of how you raise a healthy, happy eater. And also, you know, if things aren't going well, when and how do you get help? So that was our mission in writing the book. And we're so lucky because the book has really gotten a great response from parents, and we're about to release an audiobook this summer as well. So those busy parents on the go can be listening to that as they're running around with the kids and learning about how to raise good eaters.
I think that is such important information. I mean, especially these days, because as we noted that obesity in children, and it's a setup for a lifetime of health issues. And starting young with the foundation is so important. And so tell me about the Dr. Yum Project.
Well, the Dr. Yum Project is a 501c3 nonprofit organization founded by myself and a few other founding board members who, you know, we saw an issue with kids in our community having far too much diet-related illness. And, you know, we think of diet-related illness in kids as just being obesity, but,
right,
you know, from a pediatrician standpoint, I see so many kids who appear to be normal on their growth curve. Their body mass index is fine, and yet they suffer with diet-related illness. They may have,
right,
chronic GI issues. They may have learning or attention issues. They may have things like anxiety. And if you spend enough time with those families, you'll find that their diet may be playing a role. That average American processed food diet that we so often feel like our kids will only eat may be playing a role in a lot of those symptoms. So we wanted to help families make the connection between food and health. A lot of parents may not realize the reason their child is having problems in school or the reason they're having chronic abdominal pain is because of their diet. So we wanted to make that connection, and the way that we do that is by educating our community about nutrition and showing them how to cook. So many of us as physicians, we may hand a handout to families and tell them, you know, your kids need to eat more vegetables. And we all know that. You know, we know that our kids need to eat better. We just may not know how to do that. And so what we've been able to do with the Dr. Yum Project is really take the unique experience of a pediatrician, the challenges that, you know, my patients experience on a day-to-day basis with getting their kids to eat better, and apply that to classes. I actually have an in-office teaching kitchen, the 800-square-foot teaching kitchen, where we teach families how to cook. Yeah, and
that's
we have an edible garden.
It's
wonderful. So in a very hands-on way, we can show people how they can eat better and feed their families better. And then our team can apply what works to a greater audience through our website. So, you know, at some point I'd love to tell you about all the tools and things that we have available on the website. But all of those things can happen because of the unique experience of being a pediatric provider to families who are struggling with eating.
This is amazing. And yes, your website, parentinginthekitchen.com, I love it. We can talk all about that. But, you know, this makes so much sense to me because one of the things I'm often emphatic about in my own practice, because I do not practice here, take this medicine. You know, people know I was the daughter of two pharmacists, and that's how I grew up. Like, oh, just here, take this. Much more comprehensive, wanting to understand contributing factors, and diet, of course, has so much to do with everybody's way they feel and their health or illness. But I think there's a difference between compliance, which is, you know, Dr. Fernando gave me this pamphlet and this is what we need to do. We need to eat more vegetables. And then there's this adherence where there's a faithful attachment to something. And I think when you are able to, you know, show tools and the teaching kitchen blows me away. I think that's so amazing because I tell people too, you know, there's a difference between cooking because people say, I don't cook. I think there's a difference between making a bolognese sauce and steaming asparagus, right? There's preparing.
Right.
I've put it that way. And so I think that's amazing that you take those patients and parents through that process so they can actually start to lay the foundation for healthy kids.
Absolutely. And, you know, our board members of the Dr. Yum Project, we are all part of families and we feed our families. And so the recipes and ideas that you see on our website are attainable because we do that every day. So, no, we're not going to get families maybe to prepare, you know, a three-hour recipe. But we can show them how to roast a Brussels sprout till it's really delicious. And because that's what we do every day. I'm a mom. I've got two kids. My husband is also a physician. We're very busy, active people. And so I'm not making fussy food. I'm making real food and I'm making healthy food. But I can't preach to families to spend lots of time in the kitchen because I can't do it myself. So I think families will find that the recipes are very attainable. And we also do this fun thing. We provide yum scores. So all of our recipes have been family tested and will have scores based on our yum score, which as a doctor you may recognize it. It's based on the pain scale that we use. It's a series of phases. So real kids in our community taste our recipes and they will tell us how yummy or yucky they are. And we're very honest. The kids are honest and we put all of their responses on the recipes. So just like if you're buying a computer on Amazon and you want to know the star rating, you can get on any of our recipes and see how kids really like them. The reason for that is we wanted to show families that kids really will eat real food. They do not have to be in that chicken nugget, mac and cheese, pizza box. Eat real food and enjoy it, especially when they're taught to do it from a young age and when we repeat that experience over and over on a day-to-day basis. So, yes, I think one of the unique things about our site is we provide those scores.
I love it. So once again, to my listeners, parentinginthekitchen.com, that is the site. It truly is a go-to resource for raising healthy, happy eaters. So I want to talk to you about something. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, all of our recipes for the Dr. Yum Project are actually on dryum.org. And that's spelled DRYUM.org, dryum.org.
DrYum.org. So I have somebody who's very close to me, and I'm not going to say their name because I don't want this coming back on me, but I shake my head every time they just stick a sweet thing in front of their kids to get them to calm down or be quiet. And the nutritional deficiencies that I see building up, these are people that are very, very close to me. And I literally bite my tongue every time. And then the daughter who's turning 9, she has become a very picky eater. Like the only things that she will go to is pizza and pasta and sweets, the things that have been like sort of shoved in front of her to kind of keep her quiet or keep her contained. What are some tricks and tips to help young kids like that who have been habituated overcome that picky eating?
Well, the first thing to know is it's never too late to help a picky eater. So there's a whole field of study about adult selective eaters, and even people who have spent their whole childhood and part of their adult life being very selective eaters can be shown how to eat a larger variety of foods. And a lot of this is practice, you know. And when it comes to children, one thing I learned about working with speech-language pathologists and developing this friendship around food is that so many times with picky eaters, there may be some physiologic underpinning behind their picky eating. So maybe they were a baby with acid reflux, or they were a toddler with undiagnosed food allergies. And in the process of having that physiology, what they have learned is that food is uncomfortable. Mm. And even if you fix that issue, they still believe that food is uncomfortable. And so what you have to do after the diagnosis is made and you can safely give them new foods is you have to overcome that idea that food is uncomfortable and really provide a joyful sensory experience around food. So in our preschool curriculum, we may have a lot of very selective, hesitant eaters in that curriculum of all different kinds of abilities, and we don't focus on tasting food. We focus on enjoying food. And so we may celebrate a child being the best spinach terror in Virginia or the best sugar snap pea snapper in their school, you know, and
that's
we
awesome.
Just want to show kids that food is fun. And eventually, those kids who are really hesitant to taste, once they have this flood, this new group of wonderful sensory experiences, may feel confident enough to taste. So,
I love that so much.
Yeah, parents really they need to have patience. You know, the average American family, when they're offering a new fruit or vegetable to their child, may only try it 3 to 5 times. Whereas many kids, the research will show on average, it may take something like 15 tries for a child to enjoy a new fruit or vegetable. And that's a lot
right.
of tries. I mean, parents get a little bit frustrated and impatient, and they feel like, gosh, I'm just wasting all this food. But what they need to know is it's not a waste. You know, put small amounts of food on the plate. Let them touch it. Let them smell it. Make the mealtime about connection and about enjoying the experience of being together. Get kids to help you in the garden and help you in the kitchen to prepare those foods. And the learning about food and eating and all those bites will come later. Have to really enjoy food for kids to enjoy mealtime and trying new things.
Yeah, because, you know, food, it's so connotated in our society. I mean, you know, I'm a big looker-upper of words, and when I was, I actually looked up the word diet once. Like, what the heck does diet actually mean? Because, you know, there's so heavily connotated, right? There's this diet, there's that diet, I'm going on a diet. So if you look up diet in the dictionary, quite honestly, and it blew my mind, and it actually reframed the way that I talk to my patients about it, it really means habitual nourishment. Like, how as a habit do you nourish yourself? right?
Wow.
And
that's
so,
a great definition.
Yeah, I mean, in Merriam-Webster, like, it was right there. I'm like, it's like habitual food and drink, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome, the nourishment. And I was like, this is great. But there's so many connotations. You know, we use food, like you said, from a physiological perspective, it could be connotated, especially with impressionable young children, with things that are uncomfortable. But if we can actually use that to our advantage and have it be fun and especially healthy foods, I think that is just so brilliant and so important. And so another question I want to ask you about that I know that you are well-versed in, with all of the information lately in the last, I would say, decade about our environment and our food, our, you know, sort of our soil, everything, I have found pleasure in trying to grow my own food no matter where. I sprout a lot. I have a hydroponic garden because I live in Los Angeles. On my rooftop patio, I've got this tower garden that I get all my greens from. So because it just empowers me a little bit more, you know, like I know that I can have the best water possible and the nutrients in there, and like the seeds are organic, and I just, you know, I do the best I can. Tell me about gardening in small spaces and how to get kids involved and why it's so important.
Again, this goes back to creating joyful experiences and sensory experiences around food. And I can tell you, I've gardened with lots of kids. As I mentioned before, earlier in your program, we have our entire, my practice, including our teaching kitchen, which we use for our nonprofit, the Dr. Yum Project, we are surrounded on all sides by an edible garden. So kids, you know, it's funny, sometimes they'll visit the garden before they come in for a well visit, and when I walk in the room, they're chewing on a pepper from the yard. And
oh my gosh, that's so great.
It's amazing to see. And a lot of our partners bring high-risk kids who may have never experienced where food comes from. So it's lovely to be able to show them, hey, this is, you know, the pepper plant that you planted at the last time you were here for camp, and now it's grown into a pepper, and let's pick it and grow it together. And, you know, you don't have to have a large space to grow food. For years, I did an herb garden just in pots on my patio. You know, when I was a resident, I had a 2-year-old and not a whole lot of time. And I still have my 2-year-old is now in high school, and I have pictures of him watering the basil plant on our patio. And that's, you know, again, another joyful sensory experience. If you have more space, you can do even just a raised bed garden. If you know, there's lots of ways to do it. What we've tried to show at our practice is how you can incorporate edibles into an already existing landscape. So if your best sun is in the front of your house, don't be afraid to plant a few blueberry bushes there. You know, it can be done with some, you know, creativity, right, and a little elbow grease. But kids love to get in the dirt. It's good for them. And they may learn to be better eaters along the way.
Yeah, I think I love that because, I mean, I think one of the things I love so much about your approach, and once again, listeners, I want you to know that this is, so Dr. Yum, that's spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R, Yum, Y-U-M.org. Tons of information there, and also the book, Raising a Healthy, Happy Eater, A Parent's Handbook, and then parentinginthekitchen.com. I want you to remember those resources because they're amazing, because this is really important. And I think one of the things I love so much, like I said, about your approach is that I think gardening sometimes is intimidating for people who don't know anything about it. I think cooking sometimes is intimidating for people who don't want to do it or don't know anything about it. And the fact that you can make it easy and simple and engage the kids is just really amazing. So I want you to talk about one thing. You know, we mentioned at the top of the show the obesity rates of children that are on the rise. And here's the thing that has always gotten my attention. There is more information out there now more than ever about how to be healthy. I mean, you see it. You get marketed all the time. I get marketed all the time. I contribute to it. I post, I blog, I tweet, you know. But so why? So here's my thing, right? So we got all this information, tons of it. There's pop wellness doctors on television every day. All of these chronic health issues, especially childhood obesity, on the rise. And I feel like, okay, well, then what is going on? And why is it so important for us to really tackle this?
I mean, I think as a community of human beings, we just need to figure this out for our children. You know, for the first time, you've probably heard the statistics, children's life expectancy is expected to be less than their parents, right? And
yeah,
a third of children are expected to develop diabetes. And, you know, I think with all this information, I do see the tide turning. I see a lot of parents who are really, you know, struggled with their own food issues, who come really open and excited to learn about how they can prevent those issues in their children. I think we're just starting to see a downturn in pediatric obesity rates. So, but we do have to really try as much as we can to focus on that youngest age group, because so much of your health outcomes are, you know, determined in that first 5 years. Your habits, all of that are shaped so early, and they really can set that trajectory for the rest of your life. And not that it's, you know, it's never too late to change your health, but it's so much easier if you can establish those habits early and get kids on a great path. You know, even something like heart disease, you know, 99% of 10-year-olds already have fatty artery streaks at age 10. So we're talking about preventing, not just preventing disease in kids, but reversing disease in kids and making sure they eat a better diet. So we've got to start early.
We have to start early. You know, I saw some stats the other day as far as the natural products industry was concerned, and the category, the group of folks, the demographic, if I could, that is really hot on really believing that more alternative natural approaches are better than conventional, here, take this, are the millennials. I know not a lot of great things are said about millennials, however, I'm like, well, this is awesome because I think maybe we can, you know, continue to affect generations to come, because I think that's great. Well, I just really appreciate your work. Thank you so much for being here. Folks, this is Dr. Namali Fernando. She, once again, I want to give you the book is incredible. She's the co-author of Raising a Healthy, Happy Eater, A Parent's Handbook, a stage-by-stage guide to setting your child on the path to adventurous and, I would say, healthy eating, and therefore, you know, really good habits and health for the rest of their lives. And she also, I want the website, so it's Dr. Yum, and that's spelled out DOCTORYUM.org. Thank you so much for all of you do. Folks, listen, if you like the podcast, just go over to iTunes and rate it. We can grow our community and continue to sort of mindful medicine, right? So just wake up and use our own mind and think things through again so you can really take charge of your health. All right, I'm Dr. Holly Lucille, and I will see you next time. All right, you know what I mean.